You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
To start off with, what is contained within the ERO report and is it of concern?
So that's the Education Review Office report. It's mainly focused on the role of ECEs in supporting language development and what they can do to support young kids, particularly since the COVID years and what changes that have happened since then. And so I think the, you know, kind of key take-home messages from the report was that in New Zealand, they found that around 20% of kids aged 5 are struggling with language. They're turning up to school and they've got major issues in their ability to communicate. And then you've got that children from lower socioeconomic communities and boys are struggling the most. And this is really important because language skills, you know, they help kids to develop socially and academically. And so acquisition of language is really one of the most important processes in child development. And language delays are linked with behavioural problems and poor academic achievement. And so while the report doesn't go into the impact of screens on language development and how this might have been impacting our kids, particularly since COVID, you know, there's teachers and principals and parents are concerned that there is an issue here and that screens are playing a part in this problem. And there's certainly research, particularly internationally, to back that up.
Why do you believe that lower socioeconomic children have worse language skills?
Well, language development happens in young children through lots of interactions with parents and having an environment that encourages them to learn. So things like parents who read to them, but also having lots of books in the environment. So, you know, in lower socioeconomic communities, you've often, you know, you're going to have more likely to have two parents working, life's going to be a lot more complex, and there's likely to be, you know, less opportunities for children to engage in those activities that enhance language development. And then we also know that in New Zealand, but also internationally, kids who are from lower socioeconomic households are exposed more to screens, and particularly screens that are more likely to be harmful. So, you know, they're not sitting there with their parent watching something together, talking about it, or reading ebooks. They're more likely to be engaged in apps and games and things like that, which we know don't support language development.
Why do you believe that this has become an issue in the first place, and what caused it?
I think it's a number of things. So first of all, there is big money in apps aimed at kids. So there is an incentive for companies to be making these apps and marketing them to parents, and they've done a really good job of that. So especially in the earlier years, parents really did believe that these apps were, this is what they were told, that they would help their kids develop and improve their academic performance. And then secondly, 2024 is just life is getting busier and busier, and parents often give the advices to kids because they keep kids quiet and entertained, and they seem to keep our kids safe. So kids don't tend to be breaking bones or breaking furniture and things while sitting quietly on their devices. And then in many households, both parents work today. And again, screens can be a handy electronic babysitter when we are busy and need to keep our kids out of trouble. And this is particularly the case during the COVID years. And unfortunately, once a behaviour like screen use starts, it very rarely reverses. So you don't tend to get a kid at 2 who's using screens a lot, so for 2 hours a day, and then that screen use decreases over time. That just doesn't happen. Screen use increases as children get older. And so COVID likely created a situation where a whole cohort of New Zealand kids suddenly started using screens more. And that's what international research has told us has happened during COVID, and that this trend is likely to have continued since then. So again, from the international research, it doesn't show that as soon as, you know, COVID restrictions were lifted, that then kids stopped using screens. It was just a behaviour that continued. And we do know that that's been associated, that that increase in screen use during the COVID years has been linked with things like detrimental effects to eyes, to physical health, obesity, sleep and mental health.
So because of this, do you believe that there should be tighter regulation around kids' apps?
Parents, I mean, I think it's a bit of a rabbit hole. Where do you even start with putting regulations on these things? I think it's very difficult. And then you've got today parents, there are some limits on things. Like, for example, social media has an age limit of 13, which, you know, also that's not based on anything. That was based on historic legislation from the US around whether you can collect information from children without parental consent. And parents, but, you know, that's just kind of flowed on, and parents think, oh, it's fine to give a 13-year-old social media. But parents are giving their kids access to these devices despite age limits and restrictions and things like that. I think what we need is to start changing norms around how our kids use devices, how parents use devices around their kids, because that's really important too. That really interferes with parent-child interactions, and how we value childhood in our society, because the current narrative is really that parenting is hard. We need to give these devices to our kids in order for parents to survive. But parents need to know that actually, in the long run, it's often a lot easier if we delay or at least minimise kids' access to these devices. You know, giving kids screens causes behavioural issues. It interferes with their development, and it is a major source of conflict in their home. So it's currently a societal norm in New Zealand to give kids screens from a very young age, but it doesn't have to be. And we are seeing more and more parents beginning to delay kids' access to these things, and I think that's really exciting.
There is also recent evidence of low pass rates in NCEA literacy and numeracy tests, which are also linked with lower socioeconomic backgrounds. Do you believe that these issues are linked in any way?
I mean, I'm not an educational researcher, I'm a screen researcher, and the screen research says that, yes, screens have a negative impact on kids' educational academic outcomes, and we know that New Zealand kids have some of the highest rates of screen use both in and out of schools in OECD countries. So, you know, looking at that, I would think that that would be a piece of the puzzle. I don't think it's the whole part, you know, the whole picture at all.
Yeah.
But I think it is a piece of the puzzle.
And finally, is there anything you'd like to say to parents of preschoolers?
Yeah, so often when I talk about this, parents often feel a lot of guilt, and I don't want that to be the case. I think that we've got new information that's come out, and that this should empower parents to make changes that will positively impact their kids' development and well-being. And it's certainly never too late to reverse screen use behaviour. So if your kid is spending hours on a screen every day and has been doing that for years, they're still young, their brains are still very plastic, you can remove or reduce their screen use, and you are going to see positive impacts on their behaviour and on their development. You know, and I just think in New Zealand we need to remember that children need a childhood. They need to play, and they can't get those years back once they've passed. So I think it's our job as parents to be the guardian of our children's childhood. And I think that we're starting to begin to see that in New Zealand. And the more parents that kind of go down this route, the easier it becomes for other parents.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.